Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Isn't God so good? If you don't know how good God is, you're in the right place to hear about how good God is. Amen? Well, I've got only good news for you. God's on your side. He wants what's best for you. And He just has only good stuff for you. Isn't that good? You know, that's just good news. I don't have any bad news for you today at all. Only good news. Because God is good all the time. And so we're in Valentine's Day is coming up. How many are ready? How many husbands? Let me just give you some help. Valentine's Day is Wednesday. Amen. Do something. Do a card. Do a candy. Do something. Amen. Do something. Do something. And but anyway, during this time of year, we always like to do a message on relationships. How many figured out relationships are tough? Right? They're tough, you know? If you don't know that they're tough, you probably haven't been in one very long. Relationships are tough, but they're worth it.
Amen.
You know, God didn't design us to live life alone at all. When you think about Genesis and the Old Testament, the very beginning, you know, where Adam is walking with God, he has a perfect relationship with God. The Bible says that he's walking in the cool of the day with God. He's talking to God face to face. I mean, that's just amazing and incredible. But even in that position, even in the Garden of Eden, walking in relationship with God like that, what did God say to him? He said, it's not good for man to be alone. We're not designed to live life alone. We're designed to live it in relationships with other people. And there's different kinds of relationships, right? And so, but we're made to do life together. You're not made to do life alone. And that's why that doesn't work out. Nowhere in the Bible are we supposed to do life alone. We're supposed to have friends. We're supposed to be in the body of Christ. How many know one part of your body, one organ, can't go off and be by itself and survive, right? You know, I mean, I've used this illustration many times. It's kind of gross, but, you know, if you were to cut my hand off, my body would survive, right? But my hand would not. Why? Because it's not connected to the body. We need to be connected to one another because that's how God designed us to work. You know, there's some things, they're just designed to work a certain way, and they don't work any other way. How many know that your hair dryer, how many ladies you blew dry your hair this morning? I know I did. You know, your hair dryer is designed to work via electricity. If you don't plug it in, you're just standing there doing nothing, right? Well, you know what? In relationships, we're designed to be together. And so you have to plug in to get it to work right.
Hello.
Amen? We got to plug in. And so we're in a series called From This Day Forward. From This Day Forward. And so how many know if you're married in here today, don't think like, oh, this message isn't for me. All relationships work the same.
Yeah.
Amen? And they all have godly principles in them. And so we're going to talk about marriage today, but also this is good if where for friends, for family relationships, for work relationships. It doesn't matter. All relationships need help. And so, but in marriage, we said when we stood before a pulpit or before somebody, and they said, from this day forward, in sickness and in health, what we say? We said, I do. How many said, I do? Right? And you're still doing.
Yeah.
Right? Still doing it.
Doing it. And
so anyway, so we're talking about from this day forward. And one of the reasons why I wanted to call it this is because a lot of times in relationships, we just need to give somebody a break. Right? Just cut them some slack. Give them a break. And that's really what Lamentations, we don't read out of Lamentations very often, but this is a great scripture. And so in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 23, it says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. That sounds pretty uplifting, doesn't it? Some of you are like, that's how my marriage feels right now. That's all right. There's help. Amen. There's help for you. He says, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. You know, I don't think there's anything that can bring a downcast soul, which is just, you know, a depression, a feeling of sadness, a feeling of loss. You know, one of the things that brings that feeling so quickly is when relationships are not working right. or when there's hurt and pain in a relationship. But there's good news here. He says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Listen to this next part. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, no matter how your situation is right now, maybe you're here today and, you know, in our church and in a group this size, I guarantee, even in a group this size, there's a couple here today. There are people here today where relationships, you're struggling. And I just want to encourage you, there is hope for you. Amen. We serve a God that loves you, has compassion, and his mercy is new every single day. And so something may look hopeless, but nothing is hopeless when God is applied to it. Amen. It can look as hopeless gets, but when you apply the word and the way of God to it, it has to change. Amen. Because nothing is more powerful than the word. And so God can work things out. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, just like in the scripture here, he's crying out. He's like, there is bitterness in my soul. There is gall. There is just heart. It's heart-wrenching. And if you read before that, he's going through such a hard time. He says, yet I call to mind. And I want to call to your mind today, remind you that you have a God who's for you. You have a God who is a miracle-working God. You have a God that has all the power that you need. And he is for you, not against you. And you say, well, I don't deserve that because of, you know, it's my fault. What happened is my fault. Well, thank God for mercy. Amen. Thank God for mercy. Thank God you don't get what you deserve. You get what you need. Amen. And if you need help, God will give you help, whether you deserve it or not. It doesn't matter. That's how good God is. And so today, we're just for the next few weeks, and in February, we always like to talk about relationships because, you know, you have to invest in your relationship. Amen. Good marriages don't just happen. They happen because people invest in them. They happen because people are working on it. It doesn't just happen. You can marry the most perfect person that ever walked the earth. She could be your angel. That's what a lot of people think before you get married. Oh, she's my angel, you know? You know, Lucifer was an angel too, I'm just saying, all right? You know? I'm just saying, you know, but the thing is that when we get married, you know, things happen and it's you got to invest in it. You got to make time for it. You know, I read a lot of books on marriage and people are like, you know, oh, you're reading that book on marriage. Not because I'm having problems, so I don't have problems. Amen. And so we got to make those investments. So these next few weeks, this series, it's an investment. It's an investment into your marriage, into relationships, into your future marriage, to recover. If you're in here today and you're divorced, you say, you know, I'm divorced. This isn't for me. It is exactly for you because I guarantee you've got a future. Amen. And you want to look back and say, you know what? There are some things I could have done differently. I need to recover and heal from the relationship that I was in so I can move into the next season of my life with not so much baggage. Amen. Series like this, they help you unpack the baggage. Amen. And pack right. How many of you have ever been on a trip and you just packed all wrong? You know, you ever been on a trip, you just packed all wrong. You're like, man, I didn't bring any of the right stuff. I remember we went on a motorcycle trip. This is years ago. And we're going on this motorcycle trip and it's June. How many know it's hot? It's hot. So I, you know, all of us, we only took like one jacket and a, you know, like short sleeves and, you know, you don't wear shorts on a motorcycle. I don't care what other people say, but you know, it's just not a good idea. But anyway, so we just wore t-shirts. We didn't have jackets. We get up in the mountain. It's like 40 degrees. How many know we didn't pack right? Every day we put on like everything we packed because it was so cold. But you know, the thing is, let's unpack some things. Maybe some things that we saw in our parents' relationships. Maybe some things we've seen in our own lives. Let's unpack that and let's pack right with what the Word of God says to do. Amen? God instructs us how to do relationships, but we need to pack right. And so for the next few weeks, we just want to talk about, last week we talked about the number one. Number one. Look at your neighbor and say, number one.
Number one.
number one key for any relationship to work, whether it's parent and child, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's boss and employer, the number one key for any relationship to work right is to seek God first. Amen. Amen? Seek God first. Put Him first in everything. Do it His way. Make a decision that I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. That means I'm going to say, Lord, this is your kingdom. I'm going to do it your way. Amen? Because when we start doing it our way, we're acting like it's our kingdom. Yeah. Listen, if you want to be your own king, you're going to reap your own reward. Amen? I don't want to do that. I want to let God be my king. Amen? So I can reap the rewards He has for me. And so the first message is on seeking God. Listen, nothing's going to work right if God is out of place. Amen. Nothing is going to work right if God has no place. Nothing. And we learned last week that Harvard University of all places has told us that if we'll do three things, if we'll do these three things, that our chances of divorce go from 1 out of 2. How many know that's 50-50? 1 out of 2. They'll go from that to 1 out of 1,246. How many say those are better odds? If you had a 1 in 1,246 chance of winning the lotto, who'd buy a ticket? Some of you are like so spiritual, like, oh, I don't gamble. All right. But if they said, hey, you got a 1 in 1,246 chance, you know, you'd be like, those are a lot better odds than, you know, we're talking divorce here. Listen, divorce is a serious subject. Divorce is destroying families. Divorce is just changing the plans. And it's, you know, you say, well, and I always like to encourage people, listen, if you're in divorce, if you're going through a divorce, God loves you and God cares about you. Amen. And one thing, and this is going to wrap your head, get ready to have your head blown a little bit. God is the one that instituted divorce in the first place. Back in the old time, like, what? But it was never His plan. It was never His will. But there are situations where that is the right thing. There are. And let's just, you know, there are times where it's like, man, you guys need to separate. This is not a good situation. It's not healthy. It's not safe. It's not right. Yes. But then there's a whole lot of people that divorce is entering into their life, and it's not really what they want. They just can't figure out how to make it work. I can't tell you how many times that people have gone through divorce and a year later, 2 years later, the same people are sitting across from my desk and they're saying, man, I wish I would have listened. I wish I would have done something different. I wish this never would have happened, because they still love each other. Yeah. Isn't that sad? But I tell you, it happens more than you think. And so if you're here today and you've been through a divorce or anything like that, don't feel like, oh man, you're really come down hard on me. Listen, God loves you and God cares about you. Amen. God loves you and God cares about you. And God has a plan for your life, to restore your life, to help you. He has mercy for you. And God can turn a bad situation around and turn it good. Amen. Yeah, that's how much God loves you. But if you're in here today and you're married, I guarantee that's not what you want. And you don't want divorce. You're married. You didn't stand up before somebody however many years ago and say, you know, if this works, great. If it doesn't, meh. No, we stand up here and we say, I'm here till death do us part. That's right. And we mean it in that day. But then life happens. Life happens. Morning breath happens. Grumpiness happens. Jobs are lost. Stuff happens. And next thing you know, we're coming apart instead of coming together. Yeah. And things that we never planned happen. And that's why if you're married in here today, we need to make a decision. I'm going to do all I can to build with you. I'm going to do all I can to be with you. Amen. I'm in this. You know, Scott and I say this all the time. We're like, we're in it to win it. Amen. We're in it to win it. You say, what are you going to win? Every anniversary, we celebrate so big. So big. I mean, that is like Christmas at the Healed House on our anniversary. And I'll tell you why we do. We're celebrating. We made it. Amen. We're like, we made it another year. And you know, you may be like, that's weird. Listen, every demon in hell is trying to destroy your marriage. If you celebrate an anniversary and you still like each other, celebrate.
Come on.
Amen. You still love each other? Celebrate even more.
Yeah.
Because it's just, there is a war against marriage.
Yes.
And the way you fight that war is investing in the one you have. Don't fall for those lies that, oh, if I had married this person, or if this would have happened, this would have. No, you're married now. Who you got is who you got. All right? And it's not, you know, so often we're like, oh, if they would just change, or if I would have married somebody different, and then you end that marriage, and then guess what happens? And I see it all the time. The next marriage, guess what happens? All the same trouble. You know why? Because you're still in it. You're still in it.
Imagine that.
And you didn't deal with your issues. So you took those issues thinking, oh, I got to get rid of you. Then I'll be all right. Nope. Still got a lot of the same problems. And so when we invest in our marriage, it's going to make a difference. But don't think that it's going to be healthy without an investment. You got to invest. And so Harvard tells us if we do three things, it's going to change. You guys thought I forgot. It's going to change. I got you. It's going to change our odds from 50-50 to 1 in 1,246. We do three things. One, pray together. Pray together. You know, and that, like we said last week, doesn't mean you got to have like a big prayer meeting at your house. Just make prayer normal in your house. Make it normal. Make it part of your life. Make it part of your life. Remember, don't, when you go to pray, don't be like, Lord, help, you know, change her in the name of Jesus. You know, listen, nobody wants to pray with you if all you're going to do is point out their flaws, right? That is not how to do it. But pray together. Second thing is discuss the Bible together. Again, doesn't mean you got to get out a big Bible study and, you know, get out your giant family Bible and, you know, crack it open. Just make the Bible part of your conversation. Do, you know, talk about the devotion you're doing on the Bible app. Talk about the sermon that you heard. Instead of talking about the people, talk about the message. Amen? How the message can change your life. How you can bring it into your home. This message isn't just for this room. This message is for your house, just like it's for my house. And so pray together. Discuss the Bible together. And lastly, attend church together. It's that couples who do these three things on a consistent basis, basically you stay married. Amen? And not just surviving and becoming roommates. We don't want to do that. But you stay in a healthy relationship. And that's what we're looking for. Listen, it's not just about being together. It's about being together. Amen? It's about enjoying one another. It's about having a relationship, not just sharing bills. Amen? Listen, I didn't get married to share bills with somebody. I didn't get married so my rent would be cut in half. I got married because I wanted to do life with somebody.
Right.
Amen? And so a lot of times people are still married, but they're just roomies. That's not God's plan. That's not what you want. Don't settle for that. Decide today, from this day forward, I'm going to make an investment. Amen? Make an investment. And so we're just going to talk about a few things for the next few weeks. Seek God was the first one. And today is, ready? Fight fair. Fight fair. And listen, if you got your phone with you, you can follow along on your Bible app. I forgot to say that. Got all our notes on there. But fight fair. How many know that in relationships, whether it's friendships or family relationships or employee relationships, fights happen? They happen. It's just part of life. Disagreements. You know, we're not like, you know, hopefully, right? But we're, you know, there's disagreements happen and they need to be worked out. And some, whenever couples say, oh, we never fight. When people say we never fight, here's what I hear. Either you're lying or you're in a very unhealthy relationship. Because here's what happens when couples don't fight. When you don't fight fair. Is it one day, how many of you have heard of this happening? One day, one of those people in that relationship goes, I'm done. I'm done. I can't take this anymore. And the other partner is like, what? What? I didn't know anything was wrong. What happened? They never fought. And one person just kept taking it and taking it and taking it and taking it, never letting their feelings out. And they just bottled it up until one day, man, they just exploded. So don't say you don't fight. Say you fight fair. Because whenever you got two people living in one house, you're going to fight. And it doesn't mean, don't get the idea that fighting is unhealthy. It's not. We could call it an energetic discussion if you'd like, if that makes you more comfortable. Whatever you want to call it, it's a disagreement, but you got to learn how to do it fairly. Amen? You got to do it, but you got to do it fairly. And the Bible talks to us a lot about how to deal with things when they're not really going our way. And so let's fight fair. And so when we look at the original plan that God had for us, we see it in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24. He says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." See, when you get married, you don't just enter into, and I've done so many weddings, you don't just enter into an earthly contract, you know, which you do, because now you're married in the state of Florida, everything he has and you have, it comes together as one. And that does happen legally, but even more importantly, spiritually. The Bible says when you get married, a man and a woman, you become one flesh. You become one. Just let that sink in for a second. And if you're single in here, you better make sure who you're marrying is somebody that you really want to become one with. Amen. Amen? You want to become one with. You know, we know that this isn't on the screen, but the wisest man that ever lived, he said this. He said, a man who finds a wife finds a treasure. Finds a good thing, finds a treasure. And then we see over in Psalms 133, verses 1 and 3, it says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity." In unity. It says, "It is as if the dew were falling on Mount Zion." That's a good thing. "For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." And so when we look at the way God says relationships should be, we should be one. We should be in unity. It should be a good thing. Now let's hope that describes our relationships. Amen? Whether it's with a friend, whether it's with a spouse, whether it's with family members, that we live in unity. But there's a lot of things that try to pull that unity apart. Lots of things. But when we're talking about how to fight fair, there's a few things we need to keep in mind. Number one, we need to make sure we're fighting the right enemy. Your spouse is not the enemy. Amen? You're like, "Well, you don't know him." No, it doesn't. Are you the enemy? You're one flesh. So we need to make sure that we recognize who the enemy is. And when it comes to being married, you have to recognize that the enemy, how many know there's an enemy? There's a devil, there's Lucifer, you know, he is real. And he has all kinds of plans and deceiving deceptions that are trying to pull you apart. He is the real enemy. And so when we're getting into disagreements, we need to make sure that we're saying everything's the devil's fault. That's not what I'm saying. But ultimately, the division is his agenda. And so when we're fighting, we need to make sure that we're not going after our spouse like they're the enemy. They're not the enemy. They may be the aggravator. They may be the annoying. They may be the forgetful one. They may be that, but they are not the enemy. Amen? They are not the enemy. And sometimes you need to step back and be like, "Okay, you're not the enemy. I truly love you. I truly care about you." And we need to reassess before we just attack. And so our spouse is not the enemy. We need to make sure that our motives are right. If my motive is to be right, I can be right and be alone my whole life. Unity is more powerful than being right. Being right in relationships is overrated. It is overrated. Because when it really comes down to it, how many people have just ruined their relationship because they had to be right about something that in time isn't even going to matter? It's not even going to matter. We need to check our motive. Is my motive, I gotta be right, you know? Is my motive to make them pay? You're gonna pay for what you did. Your motive is wrong. And you're never gonna get the result you're looking for. Making somebody pay is so ungodly. I mean, think about that. We say, oh, I'm Christ-like. Well, then let somebody off the hook. Amen? Don't make them pay for something that really they can't pay for anyway. So we need to check our motives. And then we need to make sure we're not using the enemy's tactics. You know, the world has a way of doing things. And we need to make sure that those aren't our ways. When you're in a relationship, things will get heated. They will. But let's just make this, let's put some ground rules down in our marriages. I'm so thankful that I married a godly man. I'm so thankful. And from the very beginning, Scott and I said, and we've been married 23 years this July, that we would never use the word divorce in our home. It would never be a threat. It would never be an option. Listen, close the back door in your marriage. It's not an option. It's not an option for you. And that is why, hear me now, that is why 90% of couples who live together before they're married, their marriages don't last. You know why? Because they've had a trap door for too long. And then when the door is closed, they can't handle it. Marriage is a commitment. It is a covenant. And we need to just take that off the table. It can't be a threat. It can't be a conversation. It can't be a word that's used in our house. It doesn't belong there. Amen? You start that out in the beginning, and it's going to help you through the years. Because there will be times. And I want to be real and honest with you, because when the times come for you, I don't want you to think, oh, we're the only one. I don't want you to think we'll never make it through this. I want to stand up here transparently and say there will be times in your marriage where you will look at your spouse and think to yourself, if there is any way in this world that I could get away from you, I would. You may not say it, but you will think it. And those of you who are like, oh, that's never happened, you wait. You wait. You just wait. Because people that act like it doesn't happen, I don't know. I don't know. Because everybody I know, it's happened. But that's where that commitment and those ground rules come in, where you're like, but it's not an option. We gotta work this out because we're here together from this day forward. Whatever we gotta do to work this out because we're one. We're one. So make some ground rules. And don't name call. I'm so thankful. And I can say this, you know, Scott's not in this service, he'll be in the second service. But in 23 years, and even dating before that, this is God's honest truth. My husband, as aggravating as I am, which you see me up here and you probably think I got it all together, or maybe you don't, I don't know. But I can be pretty aggravating. I can be difficult. And in all these years, he has never once, not one time, no matter how heated, no matter how tough it's gotten, he has never, ever raised his voice or called me a name. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Now, I would love to say that I've done the same. But I, unfortunately, cannot. Now, thank God I have not in probably over 20 years. But, I mean, isn't that impressive? And you know what? I just thank God for that. Because let me tell you, I've deserved a few. I've deserved a few, but never gotten them. Lay some ground rules. If you're going to fight fair, have some ground rules. Amen? You know, for us, those are two big ones. We don't call each other names. We don't raise, we do our very, very best not to raise our voice. And we've never said divorce. Because it's kind of like giving up. And we made a commitment. We're in this till the end. I may not like you a whole lot right now, but I still love you. You may not like me a whole lot right now, but I know you still love me. We're going to get through it because we're in it till the end. Amen. So use some good tactics. Amen. Use some good tactics. But you got to set those up. And the time to set those up is not when your head's spinning around. Amen. That's not like, oh, wait, what? Let's make rules. No, the time to do that is now. When you're getting along, when things are going great, when you're getting a big box of candy on Valentine's Day. So you know what? From this day forward, let's make some new ground rules because we're going to fight. We're going to disagree. We're going to not see eye to eye on things. You're going to aggravate me. I'm going to aggravate you. But from this day forward, let's make some ground rules. We're not going to call each other names. There's no place for that in this house. This is a godly house. If it's a godly house, then act like it's a godly house. And if the names start to come out, check out. Nothing we've done, just some good tactics, is our halt. Halt has saved our marriage many times. If you're hungry, you're angry, you're lonely, or you're tired, stop talking. And come back when you're better, when you're ready. Because in those times, we're weak emotionally, we're weak spiritually, we're just weak. And when you're weak, you lash. You lash out. And so those are just some good things that we've used. I encourage you. There's a great book that we've read. It's called How to Fight Fair. It's a great book, How to Fight Fair. Another great book for marriage is That's Not What I Meant. It's a book called That's Not What I Meant. Listen, spouses, if you are constantly hearing from your spouse or you're saying, that's not what I meant, then you need to work on your communication. Amen? Because if somebody is always saying to you, that's not what I meant, well, if you always need to say that, well, you might need to work on your communication. Amen? So just, what is that? When you read books like that, what are you doing? You're investing. If you're single in here, invest in your future. Because you may think you've got it all figured out on how marriage is, but you have no idea until you're in it, until you're waking up to somebody every single day. Every day. Every day I roll over, there he is. Every day. And every day he wakes up, there I am. There I am. You better make an investment in that. Because if you don't, it's not going to happen. And so here's just a three things. How many want to do three things that are going to help us in our marriages? Is your marriage worth it? Yes, it is. Is your future marriage worth it? Yes, it is. Is recovering from the past worth it? Yes, it is. So over here in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, this is he's speaking here and he says, my dear brothers. So how many know, whenever it says brothers, who's it talking to? Talking to us, talking to church people. How many know that believers in Christ, we have a different standard of living than the world does? Amen? We have instructions from the Word of God on how to do relationships, how to handle money, how to be a boss, how to be an employer. We have instructions on everything. And so here he says, my dear brothers, so he says, take note of this. So take note of this. Amen? My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone, look at your neighbors, it is for you. It's for you. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Isn't that so good? I mean, this is words to live by. Doesn't the Bible just amaze you? Because you're like, oh, you know, I need to go on Dr. Phil because of my marriage. No, you need to read the Word. Amen? The Word's going to help you. If we all did this, how much trouble would it save us? And so he's saying here, my dear brother's talking to church people. He's like, listen, church people, believers in Christ, this is how you need to act. Take note of this. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because that anger is not going to give you what you're looking for. Listen, ladies, are you hearing me? Screaming and yelling and being all emotional and freaking out and being dramatic is not going to get you the desired outcome you are looking for. And the sooner we learn that, the better off we're going to be. Amen? Better off we're going to be. Men, not saying anything is not going to get you the desired outcome that you're looking for. There's always two different kinds of fighters. You know, there's the silent fighter and there's the huffer. The huffer. Ever met the huffer? What's wrong? Nothing. You're the huffer. And then there's the silent fighter. What's the matter? I read a book, Greg Rochelle, he said this. He said his wife is so silent that she'll lay in bed and won't even give him the satisfaction that she's alive. He said she will slow her breathing down so he can't even hear that she's alive. She's a silent fighter. So there's always different kinds of fighters, right? But you know what? We've got to fight fair, amen? We got to find what works for us as couples. But the thing here, number one thing he says for us to do, he says, take note. We need to stop and listen carefully. Stop and listen carefully. Instead of assuming that you heard what was said, stop and listen carefully. A good thing, I read this in a book I was reading, and it said a good thing for spouses to do, and I need to do this, is if your spouse is trying to tell you something, repeat back to them what they said. And you may think, that's stupid, I don't want to do that. But see, we don't always hear what is said. A lot of times we hear what we want to hear, or we hear something and it gets so filtered through our hurt that it means something totally different. And so James tells us to be slow. Instead of jumping that you heard what was said, what did you say, or you know, jumping on it really fast, let's be slow. Let's be slow to before we jump. Let's be quick to listen. We're always so quick to talk, but that's not what James says. He says, be quick to listen, slow to do anything else. But we get it backwards, don't we? As soon as someone said, rah, 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 you know, we're there, man. We're like that little chihuahua. We're right there. Let's be quick to listen. But here's what listening, listen, just because you're quiet doesn't mean you're listening.
Hello.
How many figured that out? Especially, listen, ladies, men, and how many, a couple years ago we did Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. Great video series. If you want to borrow it, we'll loan it to you. You'll be laughing and helping your marriage at the same time. But one of the things the guy talks about is how men's minds are so different from women's. How many know that's true? Men are single taskers. Men do not multitask. And sometimes we women are like, oh, you can't even multitask. But, you know, here's the thing. Listen to this. I read this article one time, and it talked about how men, now listen, don't think I'm like, I mean, I'm pro, you know, ladies doing great things. But it was this article about how because men are single taskers, they don't multitask, most often they are the top in their field. Even in occupations and professions that are dominated by females, many times men are the best, not because of any other reason, that they're so focused. So like hairdressers, right? A lot of times the top hairdressers are men. Chefs, top chefs are men. Bakers, a lot of times the top bake, and these are jobs that we would think, now let's, don't write me letters about, you know, anything. You know, we're not here, this is not, you know, equal opportunity. That's not, we're just talking about how different men and women are. So men are very focused, and that's how, here, ladies, hear me. It's how God made them. It's how God made them. They're made that way. But I tell you, and again, don't write me a letter. Listen, I think there's really nothing that a man could do that I can't do too. But I tell you, like when the hurricane and all that kind of stuff, you know, Scott was like, do you want, and I was like, listen, this is one of the reasons why I got married. Because this is what I call man work. right? You know, men just kind of take charge and can lead through some really difficult times. Why? Because they're so focused. They're so focused. So listen, that same trait that maybe gets on your nerves, that's how God made him, and it's what you need as a woman. Because women, our minds are all over the place. How many women in here, we can do a load of laundry, fold a load of laundry, clean the kitchen, think about dinner, make a shopping list, and watch TV at the same time, right? I mean, we can do all kinds of things at the same time, and our minds can have all kinds of different conversations. We can just be all over the place. Why? That's how God made us. And our homes need that. Your home needs your mind everywhere, your multitasking skills. Your home needs that. That's one of your strengths as a woman. That's how God made us. But our home also needs that laser focus that our men have, right? I say all that to say this. Ladies, if your husband is doing anything else, he is not listening to you. He's not listening to you because he can't. He can't listen to you. And so when you're so mad because he didn't hear you, he really didn't hear you. Science backs us up on that. And that's why, guys, listen to me, listen. Guys, when it's time to talk, you got to put everything down. You got to put the phone down. You got to turn the TV off. You got to put everything down, because your marriage is worth that focus. If you're going to listen, men, you got to focus. All the ladies, you can slip me $5 later, right? And ladies, you can't expect your man to focus on you when you're all over the place. He can't do it. And that's why we're, instead of coming together, a lot of times we're just, recognize we're different. God made us different. It's not a weakness. It's how God made me, so that makes it a strength. But work with it. So guys, be quick to listen. That means put everything down and listen, because that's the only way you can. And ladies, be quick to listen. Let's not jump. Let's not try to finish his sentence, ladies, because we can get the thought out faster. Let's not do that. Now, I see a lot of laughing because that's what we do. That's what we do. James is telling, he says, listen, everyone, be quick to listen. Proverbs 18:2 out of the New Living says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Isn't that good? Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. And so to be quick to listen, we may not agree with what's being said. We may not want to hear what's being said, but if we're going to survive marriage and not just survive it, but thrive through it, amen? I don't want to just survive this. I want to thrive through it. I want to still like my husband, amen? I want to still want to spend time with him. I want to love him. I don't want to just live with him. And if that's going to happen, I got to put an investment in. Amen? I got to invest. And I got to be quick to listen. I can't just be like, no, this is how it is. What am I? I'm being a fool. Because I just want to tell him what I think. What I think. He says, fools have no interest in understanding. Listen, just because we don't agree with something doesn't mean it's not real to someone else. It can be real to them. So let's be quick to listen. Next thing is slow to speak. Slow to speak. I need to guard my words. Guard my words. Because once those words are out, how many know you can't get them back? No matter how many times we say, I'm sorry, that's not what I meant, I never should have said that, what was I thinking, whatever, the words are still out and they still hurt. That old saying, sticks and stones, that is a lie from the pit of hell. words hurt more than natural things ever could. So that's why I got to guard my words. That's why James tells us, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Proverbs 21:23, this is a great verse out of the New Living. It says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Amen. Now, this is one of those scriptures we need to take for ourselves. Don't be handing it out to other people. Amen. Keep your mouth shut, the Bible says. No. We got to watch, for us, the Bible says, watch your tongue. Yeah. Amen. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. This is a scripture for me. Amen. Everybody say, this is scripture for me. It's for me. Let's be slow to speak, because those words, again, once they're out, I'd say you can't get them back. Once that name's been called, you can't get it back. Once you've said words that you regret, you cannot get them back. Words are the most powerful thing you possess. Most powerful thing you have are your words. And James says, be slow to speak. There are so many scriptures, and if you have trouble in this area, you need to meditate on the book of Proverbs. Read a proverb every day, because Proverbs is filled with how to talk. It is filled with how to talk. It's in Proverbs that says, a man of many words, sin is not far off. Amen? And so read Proverbs. And then the last thing here, manage your anger. Manage it. You're going to get angry, because the Bible says, slow to become angry. So I'm going to be quick to listen. Got to be quick to listen. I'm going to be slow to speak. Slow to speak. And that's why, listen, spouses, when your spouse says, give me a minute. Give me a minute. Give them a minute. Amen. Amen. Give them a minute. None of this. We got to talk about this now. Do you? Or would it be better to go and pray about it? Would it be better to go and seek God about it? Amen? Let's be slow to speak. Slow to speak. There's been many times I know where, I'm not easy. I'm not easy. And being married to me is not easy. And I know there's many times, I can see it in my husband's face. I can see it. I mean, he's just like, But he'll go, and he'll come back totally different. You know what he did? He's slow to speak. He went and spoke to God. And so instead of getting unmanaged anger, I got it filtered through prayer. And I'll take that every time. Every time. Every time. Slow to become angry. Listen, we're going to become angry. It's going to happen. But let's be slow about it and let's manage it. Let's manage it. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26-27, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Here's what happens if you go to bed angry. And Jimmy Evans has a great teaching on this. And I tell you, all these resources, Marriage on the Rock, Jimmy Evans, you want to strengthen your marriage? Sit under Jimmy Evans. We do it here at church often. Sit under that. It's powerful. It is straightening you out. But what happens when we let anger fester is the enemy gets a foothold. When a door is shut, it's real hard for somebody to get in. But if you open it up a crack, here's what that foothold means. When you open it up a crack, you know what the enemy does? Puts his foot in. Once his foot is in, he has more leverage. He can push more because the door has been cracked. And that's what happens when anger isn't managed well. Listen, doesn't mean you're going to work everything out before you go to sleep. But it does mean you're going to manage that anger, where you're going to say, I love you. Let's pray together. Even if it's through gritted teeth, you do it. Because you don't want to give a foothold. Amen? You don't want to give that foothold. And Jimmy Evans has a teaching called the hurt whisperer. When you go to bed angry, it's like the devil's got that foothold. And you know it and I know it because we've all done it. The enemy just sits and talks. Oh, they should have done this. They should have done that. And you should blah, blah, blah. What happened? Left the door open. So no matter what it takes, don't go to bed angry. You might not have everything worked out, but choose love. Love is a choice. Amen? It's a decision. And so that's why, you know, in marriage, and I'm just telling you what works for us. We've never spent the night apart. Never ran home to mom's house. Don't do that. Don't let that door be open in your marriage. You're married now. You leave and cleave. You stay home. You work it out. You stay in the same bed. You might slow your breathing down, but you do it, right? And you say, I love you before you go to bed. Even if you're still a little bit angry, but you manage it. And you choose love over it. That's how you fight fair. Let's choose unity over being right. Because listen, I don't want to be right and alone. I don't want to be right and alone. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I want unity. So I encourage you, take these things and set some ground rules for the next fight. But don't wait till the fight. Do it now. So that when the fight comes, you're ready. Amen? Your marriage is worth it. Your relationships are worth it. And these principles, they're for any relationship. Relationships with your kids, relationships with your parents, relationships with in-laws and outlaws. They work for everybody because these are God. What did James say? He says, everyone, take note. Everyone. This is for your relationship on your job, your relationship everywhere. Everyone, take note. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I pray for everybody here today. I just pray, Lord, that you just help each one of us in our relationships where we are. And Lord, areas that we need to strengthen and be more attentive to, that you just help us to see that. Because, Lord, our heart's desire is to do relationships your way. Because we want your result. We want godly result. We got to do it God's way. And so, Lord, I just pray that you just help each one of us. Help us be self-aware. So often we're so aware of everyone else's shortcomings, but so unaware of our own. Lord, help us be self-aware so that we can see what we need to do in our relationships. And the most important relationship any of us will ever enter into is one with Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And so before we end the service, we want to make sure that we've given everyone an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You might be here today and you've been hurt by people and hurt by situations and things. But that's not God. God is not the author of that. God is a good, good Father. And he only has good for you. But to enter into that and to receive the healing and the help that he has to offer, it all starts with Jesus. So if you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute, if you're here and you say, you know, I need to begin my relationship with Jesus. I need to start with Jesus Christ. If that's you, just raise your hand up. I'm not going to call you down. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. This is between you and the Lord. But if that's you, I just encourage you to raise your hand up. Anybody like that before we move on? Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I believe that we're all heading in the same direction. And Father, I pray for every person in here today that you would remind us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In God good. In God good. Hey, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offerings. We have a saying.